Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that 5-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems.
Hold on.
So that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75, 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? March has never changed anything.
And now, an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. Public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They're going to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show you your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children, because the hand that pays is also the hand that rules them.
All right, the name of this podcast is Reversing Homelessness by Reversing Your Reality. And Ms. Thorpe, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, you're in the driver's seat. Take it over.
All right. Well, my name is Tamara Thorpe. I am a Howard sophomore from Durham, North Carolina, and currently we are talking about a homeless man who was popular in the go-go scene, and he has been homeless for around 6 years. Are you here?
Matter of fact, anybody who's on the line that needs to speak, including a very special guest, just press 1 on your phone, and that way I know which, because there's a few people that are listening. So, here we go. I'm here on the mic now. Hold it. Wait a minute. Two people popped up. Okay, both of your mics are open.
Yeah, hello?
Hi.
Yeah.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Garland Walker.
Okay.
Better known as Iceberg Slim.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right, in spite of the cold weather.
Yes. And who else is on the line?
Marcus.
Okay. You're also going to be helping me give the interview as well, correct?
Right.
All right. Well, Iceberg, do you want to tell the audience about yourself, a little bit about your history?
Well, I was born and raised in Washington, D.C., and I grew up on go-go music back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. The Trouble Funk, Razzies, EU, Chuck Brown, their headbanding show going way back, and Tyler Sims jumping, and born and raised in Washington, D.C. all my life. I made a hit record with Trouble Funk in 1982. Don't Test That Stereo, it's in the mix. Went double platinum back then.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I didn't know the music side of the game, so I got taken advantage of as far as music industry goes, but live and learn. But it's been rough.
Can you talk a little bit more about how you got taken advantage of? Like, do you have any examples, or do you remember any specific things that happened that you noticed?
Well,
that
basically, me not knowing the business side of the music game, and I always loved attention for dancing and partying with the people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they was watching me from afar and then asked me to go into the studio. But they, you know, me not knowing that they was going to, you know, benefit from the record sales more than me performing live. So it was on me because I didn't know music side, business side of the game. All I did, I just party and party too hard, I guess. But they benefited from it. It cost me a lot.
So, okay. So, when do you think you saw yourself actually, when did you notice that you were being taken advantage of? Like, how much time had passed since you made that platinum record that you knew?
Well, once I realized that it went from 80-something to the top of the charts, then I realized that my name wasn't on anything, but just my voice on the record. But wasn't nothing I could do. I think it was too late right after the fact. So. But it hurt to the core of me, you know, being a celebrity, but it ain't benefited from the record film, all that.
Mm-hmm.
It hurt that the same crowd was still built. It has a real effect on my life. I'm trusting in God. He says vengeance is mine, so that's how I'm living right now. I'm going to get back to everything they took from the long run. So. But it took a toll on me, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't know I had that type of skill set, but without the band, I guess I wouldn't have been enough.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out to be something. But they knew what they was doing because they ain't had my name on my black and white. But, you know,
okay.
Now, that's a done deal. That's almost 30 years ago, but there's still some pain involved, but I'm dealing with it.
Okay. Now, how did your situation occur with you being homeless? Because you said you've been homeless for about 5 years.
Yeah, it's basically me coming over hard, been having a bad attitude about life, and, you know, growing up in the streets, Washington, D.C., I learned all the negative things and not really focusing on no goals in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And not getting them trades when I was young and come back to haunt me. Being 58 with a criminal past, ain't nobody really trying to hide you. Everybody looking at you size, you should have been a basketball player and all that, but I had the hype, but I had a terrible attitude. So, going through all the stuff I've been through in my life made me hard, hardball. Balance, you know what I'm saying? That's all I knew. I'm a product of my own environment. But, you know, I don't blame nobody but myself because, you know, I wish I was born in the country. I might have made it further, but been better than I was. I ain't started playing basketball until I was 16. But I learned everything negative when I was 8, hanging with the wrong crowd. Doing all the things, call myself being cool, but only led me to a whole lot of trouble. But, you know, you live and learn, so.
Definitely.
After going through all that, I really would say to myself, realizing that I'm not an animal, I'm a human being first and foremost, but we all make mistakes in life, so. I guess I'm paying my dues by being homeless and not having a job at 58 years old, wondering who's going to give me a second chance on life. But, you know, I dug a hole for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not giving up on life. I'm still a man. I'm still a human being first. You know, I can't jump out there with no gun and take somebody. I'm not trying to spend the rest of my life in prison. Because my criminal past, they will hide me, for real. So, been a struggle. Being homeless is not a joke. You know what I'm saying? Not being able to call some place home. Not being able to take a shower when you want to. Or go in the refrigerator. And all that. It plays on your psyche as well. You know, I've been diagnosed as depressed, but I'm not crazy. Just going through a bad part of my life.
Okay, so being in the same streets in D.C., do people recognize you as the same Iceman?
Oh, yeah, they still call me a legend and all that stuff, you know. People know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess they're going by what they see, but perception is all they look at, but, you know. I got a few people that try to look out for me while I'm going and stuff. But it's very few. I can count them on one hand. But like I said, it's no one's fault but mine because stuff that I did to myself in the past. But I realized that anybody can be homeless. I've seen veterans homeless. I've seen kids homeless. You know what I'm saying? When I see other people homeless, I feel, you know, I can identify with that. Because I know I've experienced it myself. I'm trying not to be a statistic, but I'm reading this stuff out here in the cold. It ain't easy, but I'm not having a warm place to go and take a shower. Stuff like that, it plays on your psyche for real. But you know, I'm just only one person. But if I had my way, I would help all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in the position to do that. I know what it's like to be homeless.
Okay, and do you have any family that's still in the area, or?
Well, man, like I said, my family is not as close as it's supposed to be. I got a brother in Minnesota, but, you know, my family, I got people that do more for me that's not in my family. My family, it's sad to say that, but everybody's dealt with, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God, I pray to God every day that I don't pass away out here in the cold and or the time of family of our victims. You know, what can you do?
Okay. And do you have any goals for the future or any place that you may see yourself or envision yourself in, let's say, like the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, I would really try to, if I could, become a youth counselor or something like that to give back to the society in some kind of way if I can. Or homeless advocates, you know, to help other people just like me that I can identify with. But I don't know, I still got high hopes of, I still love myself in spite of what I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they take a building away from you because they can't take what you believe in.
This is definitely a great first step as far as trying to get your voice out there to speak against homelessness in D.C. So why do you think it's so hard in D.C. than other areas? Because I know there's a lot of homeless people in D.C. Why do you think it's so popular?
It's all about money. It's political. It's the haves and the have-nots. That's me. I mean, I'm just a product of my environment, not having, not going to school, getting no trades when I was young, coming back to home, having a criminal past. Being poor and black has disadvantages. You know, but no one cares about you, but God. Some people do, some people don't. Well, it can become real selfish. Then I see the veterans out there that fought for this country. Guys with no legs sleeping at the bus stop in this kind of weather. It's sad to see. But who am I? I'm just an ordinary guy. Trying to, you know, manage myself in spite of things I did. God forgive me for everything, but man holds it against me. So, and being 7 foot tall, it's hard to hide. I can't hide.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still a human being first and foremost. I got respect and compassion for other people as well. But people only go by what they see. They see you being big and black, you're supposed to be able to play basketball. But without the basketball, I'm still a man. God fan man that first and foremost. It took me a long time to get like this, though. Cause I used to hate people and love to fight and do all the negative things that end me up in prison. In the hospital, my own race of people try to take my life, but God ain't too fit for me to go. So I give him the honor and glory for that.
Definitely. Do you have any questions you want to ask him?
Not so much a question, but I definitely want to say that it breaks my heart to hear that, and you are a legend, a go-go legend here in these streets of D.C., and there's no way you should be out here, you know, having to worry about where you're going to lay your head, or what you're going to do for your next dollar, or what you're going to do for your next meal. And we know it's going to snow in a couple of days. It's going to get harder. And the go-go community in D.C. is large. So are you still involved with your music at all? Or
I mean, I want to be involved with the music, but who can I got this trust factor up there now. I really want to be with some people that I know. If we're going to break bread, let's break bread together. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to be selfish with it, but I still got soul. As long as I'm breathing, I still think I can go in the studio at my age and still put out something that the people would like. But it's who can you trust, you know what I'm saying?
And yeah, I feel
we're all going to break bread, and let's break bread together to share the wealth if there's anything to be shared. No, but it's
like I was telling Tam a couple of days ago, you know, you're a legend. I remember when I was a little boy, I graduated from Coolidge in 89. And
right.
I remember, you know, we used to buy cassette tapes back
right.
in the day. And you would be all over the tapes.
Right.
And, you know, and it doesn't surprise me at all to hear that, you know, you helped Chopra Funk sell them 2 million records. So,
right.
you know, like Marion Barry and other people in D.C., some people in D.C., you know, you just need to respect that the GP. So
right.
I really hope, you know, that people listening out there know what you contributed and can find a place in their heart to help you out, to get you out of the situation you're in now. Because, you know, if you know better, you do better. So,
right. I mean, it took me a long time.
You're older now, but you know, back then,
yeah.
And maybe you can speak on this a little bit, because I know you said you wanted to be a youth golfer.
Right.
You know, did you have somebody in life that maybe could have guided you and maybe told you some things?
I mean, my peers was. All I learned was negative things when I was growing up. My father always said I would never amount to nothing. And it stuck to me because he was abusive to my mother. But my mother kept all five of us together the best she knew how, bless her soul. But, you know, all the stuff I learned in the streets, man, I regret, you know what I'm saying, because I got strung out on drugs. I did a lot of stealing and stuff that I regret doing. But, you know, I'm a product of my own environment. But if I had to do it all over again, I'd have went to school and learned 2 or 3 trades where I could benefit from it at my age as right now. If I could save one person from not going the route that I went, it's about getting them trades and respecting yourself, loving yourself, and putting God first in everything you do. You know,
mm-hmm.
But you live and learn. Experience is the best teacher for me. I've been through a lot in my life. I'm still going through something. But I still love myself. You know,
God bless you, Brother Iceberg. And I hope that the people out there are listening. And it's a shame that we have this homelessness situation in D.C. And we need to do something about it. And I hope that you get an opportunity to, you know, spread your message to the kids coming up now. And, you know, that's what we're here for, to help you get a voice.
Hey, man, I appreciate everything that's coming to pass or just going to happen in the future. But, you know, I don't want to be a statistic out here as a hypothermia victim, you know, freezing to death. That'd be a burden on my daughter, which graduated from college and on the dean's list and got her own job. But, you know, her mother did a great job raising her up when I didn't even have the money to help and in later years, but she still called me her dad and never called me by my first name, which means a lot to me. So
right.
That's my motivation to keep moving, keep it going,
mm-hmm.
you know. But like I said, I wish I could have gave her a brand new car for graduation, but I don't have it to give. So it hurts. That part hurts too. I'm a child doing good in school, graduated from college. I don't really have the money to show how much I appreciate her doing that. But you can't buy your kids love anyway.
Mm.
It's not about money, but it's about respect. I got a lot of respect for my daughter and her mother, in spite of what we've been through. Because God said you got to love and forgive everybody. That's what's keeping me going. In spite of my storm, I'm still trusting God as well as it's more good in the world than bad. I know that. And I'm hanging on to my faith. That's where I'm standing at now. Ben, I used to be a bully. I used to be a violent person, but I've changed. I humble myself. But God said, change you must or die you will. Now, you know, it's a different world out here. Too much technology. And I'm not doing nothing special. I'm ashamed, though. I'm trying to stay in my lane. Give respect to those who respect me as a human being. That's all I'm doing. I don't need a gun or a knife to be a man no more. I need God more than anything.
That's
where I'm at, and just holding fast. And growing up in this town at 58 years old, it's a blessing. Because I've seen 500-600 people get killed by all around me. Even rent at the go-go's, all that. So I know God has a plan and everything. So I'm just holding on. Like you said, it's temperature getting a drop. Now, God's going to make a way for me. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. You got anything you want to add?
Oh, I just want to say I thank you so much, Iceberg, for coming on here and telling your story. We really appreciate that. We hope the people listening really got touched by that situation because it's really real out here, especially me coming from North Carolina. I've never really experienced seeing so many homeless people on the street with so many people in suits just walking right past them like they're not even there. Like, it's really crazy to witness. But we appreciate you all for listening in and join us next time.
Thanks a lot.
And now, an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. Public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They're going to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show me your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children because the hand that pays is also the hand.